Yeah, we come out of the heat and come up here, and it's wonderful to see this snow. But I'm leaving. Going back to my heat. All righty, Jesus is King.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm pretty excited here. Jason, where are you? You're over here. Would you and Nicole stand up, please? Hey, they work with me. All right. Jody, Jay, y'all stand up too, yeah. There you go. Them guys work with me, been with me a while. We got more coming in here in the next day or two. Don't know who. Yeah, I left it up to them, so they're coming. All right? Hallelujah. Turn over to Psalms with me a minute, please, and let's look at this. Oh, I'm in the wrong Bible. I want this one. I want to be up here in this Amplified book a minute. Psalms, I think it's 65. I'll have to check back again. Yep, that's right. Our work is doing real well. I don't want you to judge it. God's judging it, and I'm happy with that. But we're doing all right. We're getting between 100, 150 to 500 new souls a month. And yeah, that's real good. That's what we're doing. The American missionaries, I don't keep as tight a rein on what the nationals are doing as I do what we do. But I want to know if somebody's not producing. I want to know how to get them motivated. Because if we're going to work, I mean, I don't want it to run on me. I want it to run on Jesus. Isn't that right? And if I'm preaching the gospel and people get saved and you go to the same village and preach and nobody gets saved, well, something's wrong, isn't it? So I want to know what's wrong with y'all. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not pretty clothes and Christmas tree demons. It's not none of those things. It's the anointing. I'm going to leave y'all's Christmas tree demon alone. This morning. I'm going to get that thing before I leave. Limb by limb, I'm going to tear it up. Okay. There's something that's happening to us that's really, I'm really happy about it. Since I left y'all, I told them earlier this morning, that there's a window being presented. There's a window. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how many of us can fit through it. But knowing God, I doubt if He'd give me something He wouldn't give you. As a matter of fact, I do know that to be a fact, that I can't have something and you not have it because we got the same Father with the same rights and access to the same Father God. Is that true? Y'all know that to be true, don't you? But there is a difference in how children approach their fathers, isn't there? And I know that also. I am considered to be aggressive, overbearing, dominant, lots of things. But I have never met the man that can walk up to God, it doesn't matter how aggressive or dominant, without falling on his face prostrate before the presence of Jesus. There's not a human being that character or attitude or opinion has anything to do with God. What has to do with God is our obedience, our faithfulness, our trust, and our ability to submit to Him. Okay? Now, there's something happening in the world, and I'm part of it. I'm not it, I'm part of it. There's something new happening for me, Inclusive Freedom Ministries. I've been able to see a new thing dawning for us. Our day is not over. I don't know how far along we are in our day, but I see a new dawn. I see something else that I'm going to be partaking of. And I'm going to explain it to you, and I'm going to explain it to you more and more all week long. I'm going to talk about this thing because I know it's the truth. And I'm going to talk what I think is what I think. I know it's the truth. It doesn't matter what I think. It's the truth. God doesn't get sick, but He doesn't get frustrated. But God wants us. The whole time He was fooling with Israel, All he wanted was relationship with them. He didn't want their gold and silver. He didn't care how much they had of gold and silver. He wanted their heart. You know, he's the same God now. It doesn't matter how much gold and silver you have. That's not the point at all. I'm telling you, I was in a meeting over in Australia here a few weeks ago. There was a man sitting in the meeting that's worth about $4.3 trillion. Do you know how much that is? I don't. Do you know I couldn't pick him out? Do you know that that man was so humble and so submitted to us. It was a small church that he was in. It wasn't as large as this one. Do you know small? 300 folks, you know. That ain't small, I guess. But I've been in such big old churches lately, everything's, I don't know what's that. Like he said, what is this America? Where are we? No. But look, these people, you can have money and submit. It's not the point of having or not having money. It's the point, does it have or not have you? I'm telling you, this is truth. You can have money. God don't care if you have money. God cares if he don't have your heart. In this window that's open right now, there's a flood of glory coming through it. And I don't know how I found this window. I really believe that you're a lot better person than I am, you individually. And that how I bumped into this window and how I went through it, I just couldn't tell you. It's just strictly the grace of God. But wandering around out in this thing here in the last few weeks and months, I really am wanting you to come in there. Because it's God-awful powerful. It's wonderful. It's awesome. You know, there's a thing, lots of folks are calling it the river, lots of people are calling it the fire. I've been filled with fire ever since I've been saved. I think this is my third wave of the glory of God to be involved in. And I'm still the same. I still feel the same, but there seems to be a lot more people joining in with me now. I don't believe in lows. I believe in high. I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe it. There's things that come around me all the time that hurt my feelings, my emotions get in the way. But my spirit, God is training me. I am not trained, I am being trained to not let those things take me down. The idea of circumstances and Christmas tree demons, idolatry worship, is to bring you to the level of the devil. The idea of the Holy Ghost and Him opening these floods of heaven and these let the wind blow and the river flow and the fire fall is to bring us up in glory to Him. And we want to mess around with this temporal junk and He's wanting us to flow with Him in honest power. And I'll tell you what, I have run into some. Y'all, I don't like quoting numbers, but I just don't see where the slack or the slowdown or the ebb or the lack of power or consistency of God or commitment or what's that other word? There's another one I want. Help me. Oh, conviction. That's right. Y'all don't know about that. That's right. Yeah, this is Sunday morning, and we're supposed to be a little bit more religious. I am being religious. This is the most religious I am right here. I hope. Okay, the idea is to get you motivated. I just was part of this humongoid conference, okay? The church of about 6,000, 7,000 folks, and they let me up on the platform. Okay. You know what was in the little write-up? David Hogan / International Motivational Speaker. What happened to their brain? God help them. David Hogan, International Motivational Speaker. Jeez. Is that good or bad? I mean, what is this? Is this good or is this bad? Help us, God. I laughed. I'm still laughing about that. See, I met a man in Australia that... see, what'd he do? Oh, yeah, he was a pastor of a church in Johannesburg. Good man. I really like this guy. So I was listening to him speak. There was this conference, you see. And when I'm in a conference, I usually go and listen to everybody. So I can kind of hear what other people are talking about also. So I go and listen. This guy was talking. He said, God did something really funny. There was a woman that had some kind of disease. I don't know. He called the name of it. It was a word, big word. It was about a $60 word. And her bones were deteriorating. They were disappearing. They were going away from, and she was going to end up with just muscle and sinew and no bones. I don't know what the name of that demon is. It's the devil, though. But it took her hip, it took and eat her hip up first, her right hip. So they opened her up, put a plastic one in. Well, then the bone started down her leg started disappearing. So they opened her up, they put in a pin from the plastic down to the bone. Well, it didn't take. She went to the pastor and they all prayed and sought the Lord and fasted. Well, the thing didn't work right. It just never would heal up and it kept her pain. They brought her in the hospital and put her in there. Do you know that God grew her a brand new thigh bone and a new hip socket? It was His first creative miracle in His church and He was pretty excited about it. Now, that was in South Africa. Just the other day in Australia, there was a woman come up on crutches in a prayer line. There were several hundred people, so I don't take lots of time with everybody. The person that needs to take time with you is Jesus. But it is a thing of contact. It's a scriptural thing to do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's why I do that. All right? And so this lady comes up on crutches. And she's there, prayed for her, but she disappeared. She flew back about two rows and soup up and underneath some chairs, gone. She had a cast from her hip down to her ankle. What happened was the bone broke somehow. I don't know how it all happened, all right, but this I know it was broke. Right below her kneecap, right where the bone starts again, after the joint, was broke half in two. Choop! And so that's why she was on crutch, had all that cast on. She's gone. I never saw her again. Goodbye. And so she was sitting there, and the Holy Ghost just ministered. I never saw her again. I'm not kidding. She was underneath there making all kind of bumping and carrying on. And she was just gone. Just gone. Oh, let's see what we can do with this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me show y'all something. We're going to deal with the map. Forget the map. There, now. The map is closed. I ain't got to worry about getting in it. All right. Forget the map. I don't even want it on the thing with me. Here, move it over here. It's bothering me, this map is. There ain't no telling what we're going to do this week, boy. Forget the map. All right. What was we doing? That's right. That's right. That's what we're doing. We got to talk about this. Okay, let me put this all in order here. Now I'm happy. Now, okay. Things straight. Y'all can't see it, but I can. It bothers me when things are not right. And this lady The phone rang 2 days later. And what happened was her legs started hurting her severely. And, you know, when you pray for people, the pain's supposed to go away, not increase. Right? Well, there's only one thing wrong with this pain. The reason she had that pain is because her leg was cramped inside that cast because Jesus had healed the bone. So the doctor took the x-rays and said, hey, what happened to your leg? She said, I don't know. This man from Mexico prayed for me. I flew on the chair. Boom. Started having pain. Hey. He said, well, God healed you. He said that God healed her. She was healed. He cut the cast off. She's healed. Yeah. That's good, huh? There's an additive to this also. A little added bonus. Are y'all in Psalm 65 or did I tell you to go there? Did I tell you to go there? All right. Psalm 65. You was probably there a long time, weren't you? Waiting. Just waiting, weren't you? Being patient, weren't you? Yeah. See how nice you are? See, I told you it's better than me. See, if I'd have been sitting out there, I'd have said to you, what about Psalm 65? Because I just have to say something. Do you know that the Bible is true, let every man be a liar? Do y'all know that? Why don't you do it then? Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied. Who is this person? Do you know there are people that are, they receive envy from other people because of the anointing? Do you know that? And that's a good thing. If you are this person who is blessed and you're envied and, oh man, but who is this person that we're talking about here? It is the man whom God chooses and causes to come near. Son, that's awesome. Do you realize that God chose y'all? You didn't just one day wake up and decide, hey, good idea, let's go to church. Hallelujah. It's not what happened. Your sin nature, your demonic self, your demons that talk to you, some of you have them in you, some of them have them on you, some of them have them around you. I don't care. The problem is they're there. You're not going to get me fighting with you about where they are. The thing is to realize that they're there. But look, this lady is blessed. She's to be envied. God touched her. God poured out the anointing on her. Healed her leg. Oh, awesome thing. But there was something else wrong with her that she didn't tell me about. I didn't know this. I prayed, bone be healed in Jesus' name. Now, the bone obeyed. It went together and was healed. That's awesome. Oh, ooh, we like that. But there's something else. The lady was epileptic, 15 seizures a week. And when the bone was told to be healed, the epilepsy ran from that word, Jesus. All right, this is good. This is really good. This is a thing where we can receive blessing. We can be envied. Oh, you got healed. You received your healing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at that. I got to tell you that we're not going to probably get out of Psalm 65, even though we should probably. You could probably preach better than me, so maybe he'll let you sometime. It says right here, God chooses us. God draws us to Him. Do you know that the Bible says, and it doesn't make a difference how religious you are or what background you have, you did not come to God of your own choosing or heritage. You came to God because the Holy Ghost drew you to Him. The Bible says you cannot come to the Father except you're drawn by the Spirit of the Lord. You can't. So it is a blessing. It is grace. It is mercy that brought us to the cross. Now then, the reason we don't use it, the reason the cross is only partially used by some of us, is because of stubbornness, self-will, and no discipline. I'm telling you, there's no way you could ever make me believe that I'm a better man than you are. I don't believe it. I never will believe it. But there's a couple of things that I've decided to do that I think is right that makes me able to use some of the gifts God has. Not all of them. I'm lacking. I'm working on it. I'll get them. You'll see. If we would walk through that window, look, it's easy. The flesh has got hooks in us, our lust of the flesh. And you say, well, I'm not talking about perversion necessarily. Some of you are perverted. I'm talking about there's hooks of the devil in some of us that they've been there so long, you think it's part of life. It's not either. It's a devil. I want us to walk through the window that's open up, that the opportunities of God is presenting to the world. It's not just to America. I used to think, I really did, I thought until God opened me up to what He's doing in the world, I thought that we were it and having it. It's not true. We're part of it and having part of it. But I'll tell you, I've been running around over this face of this earth for a few days now, and especially in the last few days, a lot. God's moving. Well, I don't feel it. That's because you're not. But that doesn't mean God's not. Because you're not. Look, it's time to flow in the river, buddy. I heard the best river message I ever heard in New Zealand just the other day by a guy named Frank DiMaggio. I ain't never heard anybody talk about the river of God like that man. It scared me when he preached what he preached. You want me to tell you what he said? Nope. I'm not. The Bible says that you choose and come near that you may dwell. Dwell. What does that word mean to us, Americans? Does that mean to live, to take up habitation, to not move from, to stay there? Do I have the right understanding of the word dwell? That means to constantly be in the same place? Have I got the idea right is what dwell means? It doesn't mean go in and out of, does it? Doesn't that word carry the connotation of habitation, of setting up camp and staying and dwelling there? Is that not what I'm hearing here? Well, then why do we want to go in and out of at our leisure? I think that's wrong. I think that is one of the reasons and one of the keys why we're constantly being barraged with things that we shouldn't be, getting taken out by things that shouldn't take us out, and also not receiving full power and benefit from the glory of God. When we have enough knowledge in this room to save the world 10 or 20 times over. Jesus taught 12 guys and they were all mistakes. And 11 of them went and saved the entire known world of their day. They preached the gospel, 12 guys, to the whole known world of their day. Well, if I was the Apostle Paul, you'd sit and do nothing like you are right now. You would sit and gloat and say, thank you, Jesus, for these gifts. Now, don't I wish my neighbor had some? Ha, ha, ha. That's exactly what would happen. You can't change who you are except in God. That can change. That can roll. That can motivate. Man, Ms. Hogan's going to come with me next time. Y'all won't recognize my wife anymore. She'll look the same. She'll kind of act the same. But my wife's different now. The anointing of heaven has hit my wife. It is awesome. She's the one you want to pray for. That woman will... it's awesome. I was sitting there watching her. I done preached, you know, and I'm tired. I'm watching her. And there's these hundreds of people to pray for. And that woman's just quietly going through there. And the whole place is getting flipped and healed. And I'm sitting there going, God, I wish I was as good as her. We have this running debate anymore as who is the best. And I know she is. She said I am, but I know better. See, she's not here to argue, so we'll just let you know that she's the best. All right. We shall be satisfied with what? With the goodness of what? All right. We take this prosperity thing and we go to the extremes and we get our fancy clothes, cars, houses, and all that. And that is, listen, hey, you are not going to believe it. I know, I don't even have to preach prosperity. It is part of the salvation message. You might as well, listen, these guys have never heard me preach a prosperity message. All of my son has never heard it. Been with me his whole life. He's never heard me say a message on prosperity. It is absolutely ridiculous to preach on it. Because the person that seeks God, the blessings of God are commanded to overtake that person. From the holy mouth of God, and he can never lie. So, I don't have to talk about it because I'm a magnet. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, that's too bad. I started believing God 5 years ago for a ranch in Mexico. It come to full culmination here. I needed, by the 15th of December, I needed $170,000, I think it was. And I told all my guys I need this money. It was back in June, something like that. I need all this money. I want to report to you that of the $300,000 I needed in 6 months, I've got $250,000 of it now. Now then. Oh, that's good. I don't have to give you any money. I don't want your money if that's your attitude. Keep it. Burn in hell. I don't care. Hey. That's true. Is this true? Am I lying or what here? Come on. Help me, somebody. My God, these people are ready to stone me here. You're mad at me because I'm blessed. Well, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. All right. I don't advertise. I don't put it on nothing. I don't do this. I don't do that. Da, 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 da. What I do is pray. What I do is seek the Lord. That is not personal money. That's ministry money. That is not mine. But it's my responsibility to get it in for the ministry through prayer and fasting and seeking of God. Are you hearing me? All right. You've got to listen to me. The person that dwells in the house of God can eat goodness. Goodness does not mean necessarily money. We interpret it that way. We interpret it to satisfy our own lusts. Okay? Well, let me say this to you. The goodness of God to me means when I open my mouth that God will hold my words and not let them fall to the ground. The goodness of God to me means I miss hell and make heaven. The goodness of God means my wife and kids do. The goodness of God to me means the Indians I work with and the people I work with, that you're going to make heaven and miss hell. The goodness of God to me is the grace and mercy and peace and joy and the things of the kingdom instead of the temporal earth. See, the mentality is backwards here. You think you're blessed when your checkbook is full of money. You are temporally blessed, but that's subject to change due to the next car that's coming around the corner. It's your, oh, I'm driving a nice car. Did you see that one? I want that one. Go bring this in. Let's get another one. I didn't know they had that kind of a truck or a car or clothes or... Sheesh. So we just pray and pray and pray and seek God so we can change our attire to match what's current in the world. The Bible says we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. And did you know that when we get satisfied with the house of God, that we'll all of a sudden wake up one morning and everything around us will be completely fixed? Whether it's family, finances, sicknesses, it doesn't matter. It'll be healed if you can get a hold of the fatness, goodness of God's house. It will be fixed. Completely fixed. And utterly fixed. By fearful and glorious things they that terrify the wicked, but make the godly sing praises. Do you know what it's like for that lady that was sick with that epilepsy? You can't shut her up. I was in a service where she was at afterwards, later on. That lady, you cannot shut that lady up. I don't want to, but other people do. They're mad because she's happy. They're mad because she's filled with joy. They're mad because she's healed. Can't she just enjoy it in her privacy and shut up? No. People like us can't do that. We have to thank Jesus. And it's irritating and grating on the flesh. I know that. And I'm glad. It says right here in my Bible, do you answer us in righteousness, rightness, and justice, O God of our salvation? You are the confidence. Uh-oh. Look where I found where I get my confidence and hope from. You are the confidence and the hope. Man, what a God. Of all the ends of the earth and of all the those far off on the seas, who by your might have founded the mountains, being girded with power. I'm telling you, the God that I serve is girded with the glory of the Holy Ghost. There's no way you can talk to me about it being wrong. You know what they did? This was what country? This was Australia. They wheeled in a lady in a wheelchair before service. We was having a tent meeting out in the field. They call them paddocks. They know what they're saying. Let's go out to the paddock. I said, paddock? What's a paddock? It's a field. Now y'all learned something, didn't you? And they brought this lady in before service. She was so weak with cancer. She had had two operations. She was in a wheelchair. And they brought her in. And when they asked me before, you know, a while before service, because it was one of the elders' mother, could we please bring her to, she's too weak to sit through a whole service. I said, that's fine. Sure. They bring her up there. I'm sitting up on the front with the pastor. They bring that lady up in there, right over there. I get up, walk over there to her. She was so weak, I had to reach and hold her hand myself. That's down there. That's getting down there. She'd already had two operations. Cancer was through her body. She was dead. She was gone. I mean, she was gone. She didn't have any hair left. They had hit her with all them radiation or whatever that stuff is they spray on you. So it took all of her hair away and all of that stuff, and she had a turban on. She was embarrassed, and she was weak. And nothing she could do about it. And they had already told us, now, she's not going to get born again. She is against the name of Jesus. But they wanted me to pray for her with the name of Jesus for her to be healed. Are we making any sense here? So I said, that's fine. Bring her in. They brought this lady in the wheelchair. We're sitting there, and the pastor stands up. I said, look, I don't want to scare her by being so aggressive. So here's what you do. You ask her. We're sitting there talking in front of her. I said, you ask her, doesn't she want to get born again? I mean, we haven't said anything to her. We haven't talked to her about the gospel. We haven't, nothing. We're just discussing whether we're going to ask her or not. And who's going to ask her? Actually, it's not if we are, it's who is. And it's not some watered down version. It's going to be just straight old power. And he said, I will. He's a German. It was with Brother Jan. Wiebert. So Brother Jan looks her right in the face, said, you must be born again. She said, okay. She got born again. Right there. We led her to Jesus. Right there. Right there. In the wheelchair. Right there. Before church. That was fun. And so then we lay hands on her in the name of Jesus to be healed. Now, I said to her, I don't want to make you afraid or nothing. But the thing that's killing you, it's not from God. The thing that's attached itself to you, regardless of whether you misused your body or not, regardless of what doorway it came through, it is a demon and it's belched out of hell, and I want you to let me refute it. She said, you can do whatever you want to, son. I want to be healed. I said, thank you, ma'am. I won't hurt you. I'll hold my hands over your ears so I won't hurt your eardrums when I scream, because I'm probably going to be jumping and shouting. Laid hands on her in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy One, the Blessed One. My Bible says, I want to read it to y'all again. Is that all right with you? Is it all right if I read this again? Okay. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man whom you choose and cause to come near, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness. Oh, come on with the Holy Ghost of your house. Now, does the devil, I know all of you at once are going to say, no. But you're going to know that what I'm going to say is, well, then why do you let him do it? So the question is, does the devil have more power than God? No. Well, then why do you let him do it? See how this goes? This lady was serious. I mean, boy, I felt sorry for her, her family, her husband, her son, all of them. So she was just leaning up against the thing there, just had her strapped in her feet because she couldn't sit up. She'd fall out. She couldn't hold herself up in the chair. And she looked at me and she said, is that all? I said, that's it. She said, what do I have to do? I said, not one thing. You mean, I said, I don't mean anything. I mean, you have done what you're supposed to do. You let them bring you here. You accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You let me touch you. Now you will be delivered. Now, you may die in the morning because you're not going to suffer anymore. It's not the will of God for you to suffer as a child of God anymore. Now that's my opinion. I realize that grates on yours, but that's my opinion. And so, they wheeled her out and she left. She never heard a message. She never, nothing. You know, I know how we like to try to work up the Holy Ghost. You know, progressive, intensive, you know, anointing here. Because of how we feel it. God's always ready. If we could get in agreement with Him, it don't matter how we feel. It matters what His Word says. If we can dwell in His house, drawn there by His Holy Ghost, we can eat of that fatness, that goodness of His house continually. You don't have to be up and down. You can be stable in the Holy Ghost. All right. By fearful and glorious things. Do you understand what it was like when the phone rang 2 days later? And I'm sitting there in this guy, this elder of the church, was freaking out because his mama got real sick in the morning. Like I said, she might die. And they rushed her to the hospital. The medicine they were using on her just made her violently throw up more and more, so they rushed her to the hospital. The doctors had been looking at her, examining her for 2 days because she was getting stronger and stronger. They could not find cancer in her body in any place. Wow! Yahoo! That's pretty fun there. She got stronger and stronger, and all of a sudden I saw her at a couple of services. I was, woo! That's pretty fun. She was happy. She also was making noise and making normal people uncomfortable. She was enjoying the goodness of the house of God. God was letting her eat of the fatness of His temple because we went there and we dwell there. Blessed. Happy, envied is the man that God draws to His presence. I like this. I don't know if y'all like it or not, but it sure is doing me some good. The Bible says, when did we start? What was I supposed to, what time do you usually quit? When I'm done. Oh, Lord.
You can't put all these people in there. I've got to get some of them.
Oh, okay. All right. Verse 7. I'm in the Amplified still, but I do have my King James open, just in case some of y'all don't think I'm saved because I'm using Amplified. It is open. It really is. To the right place. Who still the roaring of the seas and stills their waves and the tumult of the people. Do you understand what it is to be filled with cancer? Some people in here understand because you've had a loved one or somebody that's been hit by it. Do you know there was a man that I truly love that, I guess, how long ago did Brother Alan Wills get hit with that heart attack? It was a year and something. 3 months, maybe? Well, anyway, I get this call in my office that this guy, he's real energetic, he's enthusiastic, he's wild about God, he loves Jesus, great preacher. All of a sudden, 70% of his heart is dysfunctional, it's blocked. And he just, when I got over there, I mean, this guy, look, I'm telling you, he's awful looking. I mean, awful looking. And he's a good man. He's not in sin. You judged him wrong. You should tell that devil to flip out. Well, he must be in sin. He's a preacher. No, he wasn't in sin. That's not true all the time. As a matter of fact, that's not true most of the time with people. There's an attack of hell most of the time. Occasionally there's somebody that's in sin that gets it done to them because they wouldn't repent. But most of the time it's an attack of hell just after you because you're a Christian. All right, now. Verse 7, who steal the roaring of the seas and roaring of their waves and the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell in earth's farthest parts are afraid of nature's signs of your presence. You make the places where morning and evening have birth the shout for joy. What if your heart was blocked 70%? Who are you going to call? You going to call the Pope? You know, he just decided that Darwin's theory on evolution is probably correct. Y'all know that? Demonic from hell. God created this place. It don't matter if the Pope says it. That has not changed the Word of the living God. You know that? Okay, I just wanted to know if y'all knew that. See, if you need somebody... Boy, that thing. If you need somebody, you don't need somebody that's going to give you doubt. When you get in a serious enough problem and you're just fed up with it, you're going to locate somebody that they may not tell you what you, maybe your flesh likes to hear, but they'll tell you the truth. You will find them. You will. I got off the airplane to find my friend in a bind. This guy was in trouble. They're going to do this and that, bypass this and do that, da 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 da. Okay. That's natural way of looking at things. But I said to him, I said, you got to understand something, Brother Allen. My opinion is Jesus needs to heal you. All that money you're going to spend on that operation, just give it to me. And let Jesus heal you. He said, that'd be fine with me. I said, I'm going to remember that if you get healed. I prayed for my buddy there. I was actually living in his house while I was there. And I mean, he was moving around like a turtle. He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't even go to the store and back and get a thing of milk without having to rest for 15 or 20 minutes after we got back. Man, that's rough. I felt sorry for him. I hated it for him. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed. My wife and my daughter Crystal went and myself, and we prayed for them. His family was in all kinds of attacks. There was, Lord, there must have been, I don't know, 7 or 8 serious things wrong inside that house. That sickness is just tearing them up, boy. It was just, it was a good time for me to be there. See, you got to look at it from God's point of view. I mean, if a man of God needs help or if somebody around you is sick, You don't want to flee them. You don't want to give them the space. You attack the devil and destroy the works of darkness. That's what you do. That's why you're alive. Is to worship the King and create the shout wherever you go. That's why you're alive. Whatever God touches changes. Do y'all know that? Wherever He comes, if He sits on a mountain, it'll melt just because He's there. If the sea is roaring and He steps onto it, it stops. Just because He got there. Is your God that kind of a God? Yes, 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 He is. Well, let's see it. Let Him loose. Let Him be God. Don't let your finite operation right up here control an infinite God. Let Him go. Go with Him. All righty. Where are we? You make the places where morning and evening have birth to shout for joy. You visit the earth and saturate it with water. You know, I appreciate people. I've been in them myself in times where I thought heaven was made of brass. I have been there, I'll tell you. But it does not mean, because my emotions don't feel a thing, and what my eyes can see, does it looks like God is not present. That's a lie. The Bible says God saturates. Have y'all ever been around mountains when a hurricane or two comes through and see what saturation of water is? Do you know the valley fills up first? And then the water tables begin to fill. Water tables, it can go up to a certain altitude. Water is pressed out from the pressure pushed up through the mountain, and it comes out in its natural, normal springs, and it's called artesian well water. And it's good water. But have you, you know what I saw one time on the third hurricane? It's called saturation. The mountainsides, I saw it with my own eyes. The mountainsides, they explode. The dirt flies like you blew a bomb or something up, and water just flies out. It just shoots out in a stream like you turn on a big water fountain somewhere. And you don't never know. You ought to see it. It's scary. Saturation is different than what we think. We think we are soaking, we are saturated, you know. Praise the Lord, brother. Son, if the Holy Ghost saturates you, you're going to be blowing out in every direction. I'm telling you, this thing is different than I think what we have in our opinion of what it is. We had a wonderful time with Brother Allen because it come time for that, what do you call it when they put that little thing in there and blow it up? Could you go inside of you? Say it again. Angioplasty. They went in there and looked around. You know what they found? Nothing. 70% not used, all of a sudden opened up. They told him his heart looked like a 25-year-old man's. Strong and healthy and filled with strength and energy. That man went crazy. He went from one day tired to the next day full of energy because God healed him. I am impressed. I saw it with my own eyes. It's pretty fun. When you get saturated, you change. When we dwell in the presence of God, goodness comes on us of the temple of the Lord. Not necessarily what we consider as goodness, but what God considers His goodness, and then we'll catch up after a while because what we consider His goodness will overtake us. If you'll dwell long enough. That's the key thing, is to stay and to dwell in the temple of the Lord. That doesn't mean this altar right here. It is a presence of God. I've been in some of the greatest services lately. I'm telling you, I don't know how to get it any better without just flying. Literally, just Wah! I just don't see how you can get it any better. Unless it's just million people at once doing it or something and all these people getting healed. The only way is more multiplication of people because the glory is thick enough. God's not slack. The people are the ones not dwelling. It's not God's fault. Because I've got a little sentence down here that I guess this is about what we'll do. We'll slow down or stop or something. What's this? You must see this. You visit the earth, this is talking about God, and saturate it with water. You greatly enrich it. Now the next phrase is the one that I think should just set the whole place on fire. But I'm already burning, so I won't know when you light up. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I'm burning. I feel the fire of heaven on my physical body right now. Now, thing is, it says right here, you greatly enrich the earth. The river of God is full of water. Church, did you know in the lowest time of your life, you can open your Bible to Psalm 65 and you'll know, you know what? It'll say the same thing. In the highest point, when you feel the most filled with God and the most saturated with the Holy Ghost, it'll say, it won't change one, it'll say exactly the same thing. I'm trying to get you to hear something here. This book is right regardless of circumstances. When we love Jesus, I don't know who you are that really loves Jesus. I am not your judge. I'm just a guy that comes here and talks to you and gets you irritated. But you in your heart, and God knows if your heart is toward Him. I don't know that. I just have figured out a few ways to really get you incited, and I'm going to work on it. And the river of God is full. It doesn't matter how dry you think you are. It doesn't matter how serious the circumstances are around you. The river of God is not empty because you are. The reason you aren't is because you moved out of the river. The river is still full. It was full thousands of years ago. It's full now. It will be thousands of years from now. It doesn't matter if Jesus comes back or not. It will still be full. We have to dwell. But we don't dwell in the river. We dwell in the house of God. See, you're dwelling in the river, the manifestations. God wants us dwelling in His presence, the house of God. That's the reason when the manifestations start dwindling off of you, you start feeling like you're dry. You're not. The river's full. We're just moving off because we get of boredom. You are a society, me too, I'm part of it. We are a society that's built on hype and fad. They manipulate us and market us to change so they can keep the dollars flowing to their millions and piles of millions. All right, well, our mentality is that way. We have to break that mentality and learn how to sit in the presence of God. And it doesn't matter what the hype is around us. It matters who the God is with us. This is so simple and clear to me. I hope it is not goofy to you. Well, I don't care if it is not. I know it's right. I mean, it's... You provide them with grain. Why is grain for? It's for sustenance. Is that how you say that? Sustenance. That's right. That's the right word. Sustenance. It's so that we can be prolonged healthy. So that we can day by day be fed. So that we can continually be fed in the house or the temple of God. Are you understanding? You don't get your provision from a new fad. You don't get your provision from a new manifestation. You get your provision from dwelling in the presence of God. Understand? All right. Now, cut me about 5 more minutes. Oh, this is 10. What is that? That's 10 to 1. Really? I apologize. See, there's a glare on that thing up there. My Lord. Forget that. Y'all put y'all's Bibles up. I'll read it to you as you're standing up. My goodness. Did you see fear grip me? It gripped me. Fear gripped me. No, it feels good to me because it reminds me of Mexico. Can't find it in that Bible. I know it's in this one. Oh, King James won't let me down. Okay. Revelations 22:1. God showed me. I am seeing and I have seen a pure river. I know that it's possible to continually walk in this thing. I didn't know what it was called in those days. I didn't know what it's called now, but I'm finding out it's got to do with the river of God and the pure water, the pure form of heaven. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it clearer than I've ever seen it. I don't know how to explain it to you, but lots of things that were not very clear to me are seriously bright now. Lots of things I was doing was good and right and all this, but lots of things were a little bit cloudy. They're not cloudy much anymore. There's some serious clarity taking place, and it's because I'm drinking a purer form of the river. The thing is full. God don't care how much you drink. He don't care how much you drink. You think, well, I'm the one that always gets, I'm always getting hit and feeling this, and that's a dumb thing to be embarrassed about. Drink it. Man, that river's flowing. That anointing's here. You've been dwelling in His presence. Hey, you left this old temporal junk fall off of you. It don't matter how much money you got. If you've got money that's dominating your brains, you need to get born again. It's Jesus that dominates us. Not some blessing. It's Jesus. It's not some manifestation. It's the dwelling in the presence. That's the dominator. I'm telling you, this is true. It says in my Bible, and He showed me a pure river of water of life. And it's clear as crystal. What a God. And I'm telling you, it seems to me like the more I drink it, the clearer my life becomes. The clearer what I'm doing becomes. It's awesome. Things that bothered me and bother me and are in present tense bothering me, they just don't carry the same punch they did before. Now we've been going on here now for a long time, and it's just now starting. I'm starting to understand where we're going. I ain't about to quit drinking that river. You can't make me. All you can do is kill me. He can kill me and put me in hell. So just get on after what you want to do. I'm serious about this. I need to see if there's anybody that needs Jesus in here that has never accepted Jesus as Lord. Is there anyone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And if there is, would you please come up here with me? I need you. I see my need. I need to repent. I ask you to forgive me. Because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead to save me and made Him Lord and Savior of my life. And I receive Him as Lord and King. In Jesus' name, amen.